Sorry, my little remote control here takes its life in its own hands. Anyway, thank you, Katri. We've had a bit of a marathon here already, so had a friend here. Let's all have a deep breath first, and then we'll have one more hour to go, and then you'll have a little break. So yeah, have a deep breath while I find my slides to share. Right. So my name is Nina Ormshaw, and I'm the international coordinator for the Faculty of Information Technology, as Katri mentioned. But I'm here to tell you all about, literally all about, academic practices of the University of Jyväskylä. There's a lot to take in an hour, and obviously you also have a chance to ask. I'm going to go through my slides at one go. You're free to ask questions in the chat, but I will attempt to leave enough time for you to ask questions at the end of it as well. Okay, and I may have a friend here at times because my cat is used to sleeping on my laptop, and she doesn't like when I'm presenting. What I will be covering during this hour is how to plan your studies, how to register for your courses, what are the modes of study here at the University of Jyväskylä, what are written assignments, what to take in consideration. I will talk about exams, assessment, grades, and also, obviously, how to get in touch with all the relevant people. You have already heard weird words like sisu and other things, and I will attempt to explain all of those in this session, and there's also specific questions on those later this week. First, a couple of words about degrees in Finnish universities. Obviously, for Finnish students or those who have done their studies, undergraduate studies here in Finland, this is no news, but there's a lot of you who come from very different educational systems. So just to give you the background, the bachelor's degrees, the kandidaatti degrees are 3-year degrees here in Finland, and a bachelor's degree is always included. Then we have 2-year master's degrees of 120 credits, and again, master's thesis is included in those. So research is embedded in those degrees. After master's degrees, we have a doctoral degree, which is a minimum of 4 years. It's usually about 4 to 6 years, including some courses, but the majority of the time and effort goes into your own research and the public defense. As an intermediate exit award, there's also a licentiate available. But this is just to give you a brief background. On that note, I will actually tell you something which is quite particular to the Finnish setting. Even though you are master's degree students, you are often referred to as undergraduate students. Even though we work onto the Bologna process and we have 3-tier system, for some reason in Finland we stick to the notion that only doctoral students are postgraduate students. Sorry about that. Again, something credits, something that is familiar to all European students, But anybody coming from outside Europe is probably something that needs a bit of clarification. One academic year is essentially 60 European credits, which means that it's about 1,600 hours of work throughout the year. So essentially one ECTS credit, or as we call them, opintopiste at the University of Jyväskylä, it equals to 27 hours of work. So 5 credit course, which they often are, would mean 5 times 27 hours of work. And that work includes, or those hours include all the work that you're doing for the course in question. So any contact teaching, any lectures, whether they're on campus or online or in mode of seminars, if it's group work, teamwork, any essays or assignments, anything to do with learning to that particular course, it's included. The academic year is divided into 5 periods, essentially. In the autumn, we have the first and second period. And in the spring semester, we have the third and fourth period. There's also the fifth period, which is really the summer semester. And faculties don't have the obligation to offer any studies, but students are allowed to study. And there's some courses available naturally, and some independent study too. Faculties vary quite a lot in how they observe the periods. In some courses, you will find that, in some faculties, the courses follow always the periods. So one set of courses start at the beginning of a period and ends at the end of the period, and another set of courses start. Whereas in some faculties, the courses may run through the whole semester or even the whole year. And obviously the exams are very often at the end of the period. Then I will talk to you about planning your studies. You come from a various backgrounds. And again, for some of you, this may be quite familiar, but for some of you, this may be quite a different approach to studies. When you're planning your studies, obviously start with the fact that 30 credits is what one semester is made of. I'm sorry. And you also have to do a personal study plan. And that is done in the CISL system that you have already heard of mentioned. I will let you know the secrets of CISL in a bit. As part of your study planning, you will also have to choose a lot of optional courses and modules. So this is where you start. CISL is the study data system that contains all the course information related to your studies. It's a fairly new system, and it's being adopted by several Finnish universities, and in time it will help sharing study data amongst universities. However, as it is new, we're still finding some teething problems, and also later this autumn the whole master data will be transferred to CISL. So essentially it's not without faults, but evolving all the time. So be patient, please. The CISL system has all the course descriptions. So essentially everything happens there. You find the courses there, you do your study planning there, you register for courses there, and also you have your transcript records from there and your personal details, everything. So get friendly with SISU. There's a separate session on SISU later on this week, so no worries. I got a little bit of help here with my slides. So you are all going to have to do your personal study plan in SISU. What it means is that you can plan the timing and order of all your courses that you're going to be doing in the next 2 years. And it's a tool for you for tracking where you are with your studies. The plan is essentially the full structure of your degree with the compulsory structure that you already have in your degree in the plan. But it will also include all your optional courses, and all of you will have a lot of optionality within your degree. You are the master of your own degree. So you can choose from various elective major studies, major courses, but you can also choose from a vast a variety of different courses as the optional studies of your degree. You also do that planning in order to register for your courses. When you have done your planning, essentially, obviously you need to start getting into the course level details, what courses are available for you, and what courses should you start taking. This is really the instructions on how to read our courses from the level of name and code. All our provision, all our courses will have a title, which is usually quite descriptive, so it also tells you a lot about the content, but they will also have a course code. The first three digits of the first of the course code is always the subject. Unfortunately, they are in Finnish. So for example, TIE means tietotekniikka, which is information technology, but you'll soon get the hang of it. At least you know if you run into a strange acronym, some bells should start ringing, and you know that you're not probably sort of in your own major or whatever you're looking. Anyway, the fourth digit expresses the level of studies. So, for example, TIES 123 will mean it's an information technology course at the advanced level, at master's level. So we have the level of the course already identified in the course code, and the sort of first year bachelor's level, intermediate bachelor's level, and master's level and doctoral level courses. Okay. And what about choosing the courses then? As I mentioned, when you finally go into SISU and you will see the structure of studies there, you will see that some courses are already set in the stone there. But there's a lot of optionality as well. You won't have the full 120 credits of your degree filled, but you have to choose the courses in there. Mainly, most of you will be choosing the courses from your own department or from your own faculty, but courses across faculty borders are also available for you, depending on the course-specific prerequisites, for example, or some faculty-level restrictions. Of course, courses at the Center of Multilingual Academic Communication, which we call MOVI, as in our language center, are available for you. And actually for many of you, for example, Finnish or other language courses are compulsory. And if you're already a Finnish, native Finnish speaker, you may have to take some other language and communications course. And also if you're not native Finnish speaker, but you have already studied some Finnish, then you can choose a Finnish course appropriate to your level. But this varies according to the program you're in. Always check the completion methods in the CISO descriptions, because essentially all of our courses, all the courses that the University of Jyväskylä offers are in CISO. So there's a lot of courses and a lot of information. So when you start looking and drilling into those courses that you want, always check the completion method, whether it's available in English, also the level, and obviously the prerequisites. There's a very useful list of courses available in English for those who don't speak Finnish. And the link can be found there, and also through faculty level study guides. It is named as courses for student exchange students, but they are for all who need to study in English language. And obviously, the courses, the way the courses are delivered will be very different this autumn, and the majority of courses will be available by distance learning. In most cases, and definitely, for example, in Faculty of Information Technology, the whole autumn will be delivered by distance mode. There's a lot of students who are in Jyväskylä who were able to come on campus, but there's also a lot of students who are unable to enter the country, let alone Jyväskylä. Now, this is the moment that you've been probably already waiting. How do I register for courses? Okay. There is no universal registration date for courses at the University of Jyväskylä, but they're all course specific. And every time you go to CISO to find the course, you will find the registration date stated in there. The course might have separate registration for lectures and exams. And obviously, you need to also cancel your registration if you change your plans. Let's see how it's done. The university user license was already mentioned. And essentially, it takes, there's a little bit of a delay until when you get your user license details and access to the university computer system, and when you have access to CISO. But as soon as you have your user license fully functional, you can start your study planning, but obviously only at the departmental or faculty level meetings you will get more sort of tools on how to do that and how to get in contact with your study advisors on how to do that content-wise. But anyway, the course registration in CISO depends on the whole, in a sense that you have to first plan your studies and put those courses in your structure of studies. Then you add the courses on your study calendar, and then you can enroll on those specific courses that are delivered in a short period of time. So really, you can't just go and roll on courses here and there. You have to plan it and then time it and then enroll. As I said, there will be a separate session on SISU, so don't fret. Everything will become clearer as well. On the modes of study, again, you come from various different backgrounds, and depending on your faculty, your program, and course to course, you will notice that we have very different modes of studies. We offer seminars, practical work, presentations, independent study, online courses, book exams, all sorts. Things like a learning diary might be an unfamiliar concept to you. But all faculties have their own study guides, and there will be information on those modes of study that you employ, that are employed in that faculty. And also ask the teachers. If a teacher gives you an assignment of a learning diary, if you don't know what it means, please simply ask for further clarification and instructions. Here you can see an example of a course outline in SISU. You will always have the info page, which is sort of the front page of a course description. And that will give you the content, the prerequisites, etc., of the general content of the course, or general details of the course that are valid for the whole curriculum period, which is 3 years. Then you have the completion methods, which are the individual courses delivered within that course, as in there may be different completion methods. One could be that you have to attend lectures. This is a lecture course in attendance. This could have another completion method, for example, independent learning. So in the completion method, you always choose one, and then you have the details on how to do the particular course. At the University of Jyväskylä, we won't be giving you a ready-made timetable that this is your studies here, go and study. As I've mentioned, you have to plan your studies, and that also means that there may be overlapping schedules. All the master's degree programs have attempted to sort of give way to those courses across the university that you might overlap. For example, if you need to take my Finnish language course, none of your compulsory courses should be overlapping with that. At least one of the groups should be okay. However, some courses may overlap, and then you simply have to make the decisions whether, if it's, for example, an optional course, whether you take it during another semester. We often start lectures 15 past and not on the hour. So always check which is the case in your lecture starting. Also, the attendance requirements vary a lot. In general, for example, language courses may have stricter attendance requirements, even 80%, whereas many others don't have any kind of attendance requirement that would affect your performance. Class sizes vary a lot as well. There may be mass lectures of up to 400, or there may be small group teaching of 10 students. So it really varies across faculties and programs and even courses. My advice would be never to miss the first lecture. If you do, please find out what was agreed and said on the first lecture. We have a very free way of working. So, for example, even though the course description says that the final assessment of the course is an exam, the teacher has the power to negotiate that with students, and it may even change, or they may discuss deadlines for assignments and agree on those. So always find out what was being said on the first lecture. If some assignments are given, they may not be mentioned ever again until the teacher may ask you, well, you've not returned your assignment to me. So always make sure you know where you're going. A few words about written assignments. You're probably already aware that there's great cultural differences in the structure, in style, in referencing of written assignments across the globe, even within Europe. So what your responsibility is that you need to be aware of your own background, how it is different from what we expect here. Submission vary. You are the one who's got the responsibility to know for each course how the teacher is expecting you to deliver your assignments, whether it's by email, for example, or most likely by Moodle learning environment. And always check deadlines. Now, this is not a very pleasant topic to discuss as a first touch to academic practices at the University of Jyväskylä. But again, I think something that needs to be brought up very early on. I think the majority of you will know what a fraud means in the academic context. For example, cheating or copying somebody else's assignment or maybe take an exam for somebody else. That's cheating. That's fraud. However, plagiarism may be a bit more fuzzy area. And this is where the cultural differences and practices come into effect. Us Finns are very particular about references. So it must be always clear to the reader when you've written anything, whose voice we're hearing. Is it you as a writer, or is it somebody else who said it in a very similar way? In which case you need to reference the source and even up to the level of page number in which book or which publication. So you need to sort of immerse yourself into the academic practices of the University of Jyväskylä. So, for example, that you don't accidentally plagiarize. We have a Jyväskylä University Code of Conduct for preventing and dealing with academic fraud and plagiarism. And essentially, you can find all the ethical guidelines and the processes through that link. And obviously, all of this is always available online through the University of Jyväskylä study website. We also use plagiarism detection software, so get to know the rules and do's and don'ts of academic writing. A few words about exams. Some of you may come from an educational background where, for example, oral exams are usual. We don't have oral exams. I don't think we have them at all. Obviously, in languages, you may have some something to that effect, but very rarely you'd have an oral exam on, for example, databases. What we do have is four types of exams, essentially. We have lecture exams, which mean that the kind of end of period, end of course exams that take place during the duration of the course, at the end of the course. We also have book exams, which I will discuss in detail, and general exams and e-exams. Retakes are available, so you don't need to panic if you don't pass your first exam or if you fall ill, for example. It's possible to take another exam, usually within a few weeks of the first exam date. After two no-shows or failures, there will be a discussion. But also, none of the failed exams affect your grade in any way. Lecture exams will be probably the default exam method during these restricted COVID times. And obviously, if the course is fully delivered online, you will then be able to do your exam online as well. Obviously, it may be a course that doesn't have an exam in these times. The dates and times and registration for the exam is always in SISU through that sort of course completion method. And if in any reason you can't attend the exam, just discuss with the teacher beforehand. It's much easier to come up with a solution beforehand rather than trying to explain afterwards of your non-attendance. Now, a book exam is probably a very Finnish concept. A book exam can be a part of a course that has contact teaching, and then the teacher gives you some titles, some books that you need to read, and then the exam is on those books. But a book exam can also be the only method of learning on a course. So you might not have any contact teaching, but simply maybe four books that you need to read and then have an exam on those books. The book exams are done through on general examination days. And each faculty has a general examination day organized once a month, and it's a long 4-hour exam that there's always a list of courses or exams that you can take on which general exam date. The general exams are done in great big auditoriums, usually, where the deadline for registration is usually a week or two beforehand. And what will happen is that, for example, if it's in Agora building in Mattilaniemi campus, there's a roll call. They will announce your name. You will receive your envelope, in which you will have the exam questions, and you go to the exam room, and you're not allowed to open the envelope until you're given permission. And the arrangements are that you can't have any of your personal belongings with you, but you have to leave them next to the wall in the room, and your ID will be checked. So it's very detailed instructions, which you can find again from the University of Jyväskylä website, but just to mention this option as well. There's also a thing called e-exams, and those are e-exams are available for certain courses, but not all exams can be taken on. So it really means that you go to, we have two separate exam rooms, and you go there and essentially do the exam there and then, and sort of by appointment. I'm sure your teachers will again talk to you in more details should there be an e-exam on your course. Assessment and grades obviously are something that you will be very interested in. And coming again from various backgrounds, for Finnish students, this is business as usual. But for many of you who come from very different assessment background, I will give you sort of the basics of our system. Anyway, the University of Jyväskylä has a rule that any work has to be assessed by the teacher within 2 weeks of submission. And so if you haven't heard anything back from me within 2 weeks, it's in within your rights to ask about it. The results will be also published in SISU, and also I think I mentioned already that reassessment never affects your final grade. In many systems, if you have a poorer grade or take another exam, your grade will automatically be lesser than the maximum grade, but this doesn't happen here. Every assessment time is a new, fresh start. So for example, if you do get a poor grade for a course, you're within your rights to renew the exam and have even the best result possible. Some courses may be graded pass or fail, but in general, the majority of our courses should be graded within 1 to 5 scale. And the full scale is in use. So in many countries, only the top half might be really in use. But for example, if you get a 3, which is a good grade, it's literally good. You do not have to be ashamed of a 3. Then you have very good and excellent grades, but all of them are used, and normal distribution is not used. So if all students do excellent, they all can get a 5. So your performance doesn't depend on other students' performance. There is no university level assessment criteria, but most faculties or even program level have assessment criteria. And also the credits and grades don't have any connection. So the grade is the credit is always a standard. If a course is 5 credits, the course is 5 credits, depending not depending on which grade you're going to get from it. Having said that, a course might have a sliding credit. So, for example, if a course is mentioned to be 5 to 7 credits, again, it doesn't have anything to do with your grade, but it has to do with the amount of work. So for example, for 5 credits, you do this amount of work, okay? If you're into that subject and want to do more, there's an option of doing more work worth of 2 credits, and then you can have a 7-credit course. But it's always mentioned in the CISL system. All the grades will be found in CISL in the completed credits and in the study plan. You get that lovely little mark on the course when you have completed it. And again, within 2 weeks of completion. After you have completed the course, it will appear on your transcript of records. And this is automatic. The transcript of records will have all your courses that you have completed and passed, but it will not show those courses that you haven't completed or have failed, for example. You can't have a failed course on your transcript of records here in UVESCO. You can get your transcript of records digitally. Ville already mentioned the UBAR, and I have a screen shot here. So essentially from the University of UVESCO main website, you can see a little selection, I think it's called hamburger. And when you click there, you get to sign in to this UBAR bit. And when you sign in, you find your personal tools, which means that you can find your transcript records and your certificate of registration through there at all times. And it's an official electronically signed document, so it should be valid for any official purposes as well. One top tip for you. As you start progressing with your studies, you will need to contact staff at the university, and you can find every single person who works for the university will be found through the contacts of the University of UVESCO main website. So you can find their email address, phone number, and even office number. We like to be accessible to you, and we are a very informal, non-hierarchical community where all students and staff can talk to each other. You don't need to be afraid to contact a professor or even a dean or even the rectors, because we can all talk to each other, not depending on any sort of level you may feel you are. We're all sort of colleagues at this university. You also need to know your rights and responsibilities. So I'll say a few words about that. But you also need to be a little bit patient with us, especially at the start of the year. We have thousands of students amongst us, and a lot of you will have a lot of questions, especially in the beginning of your studies. So be patient with us. I've mentioned the freedom part in passing a few times. So we have this thing called academic freedom in Finland, in Finnish universities, which means that teachers have very broad freedom to teach in the way they wish to. We can be flexible in the system. For example, we're not tied to very strict assessment boards, for example, like in many even European countries. So we can be quite flexible for students and the way we work. Also, the freedom affects you. You have the freedom to think and make choices. Nobody will make those choices for you, but you actually have to take responsibility for your own studies, for your timetabling, for your structuring and keeping up to progress with your studies. It may be a shock to the system if you're more used to the more strict sort of this is how you do things. So don't be afraid to ask help if you feel a bit lost in with all this new found freedom and responsibility. Always ask. Even Mari at the first speech of this afternoon mentioned that sort of ask if you have any questions, if you don't understand anything, something, simply ask, and hopefully we can direct you in a way that you can ask the most appropriate person working here with you and with us all. The administrative rules and regulations can always be found through the university website. So get to know them. And as I said, there's all the information there. And if you're, for example, thinking that, okay, it's been a while since my exam, shouldn't I really get the results by now? This is where you can find the information. What are your rights? What are the teachers' duties, etc.? So all those kind of rules and regulations and responses to your questions can be found through there. You will have a few more sessions on Finland, on the cultural context, but what I would just like to emphasize here and introduce you to is that we have a very casual but respectful relationship amongst staff and students. Mostly if you run into somebody on campus, if and when you can come and visit our beautiful campuses, you probably won't even recognize who's a professor and who's a student there. We don't do dressing up in suits, or we don't do the formal addressing of people. Most people are called by their first names. And I know for some students, this is quite painful when they're used to addressing their teachers very formally, professor that and that. So sometimes our students start calling their by professor their first name. Our academic staff works in what we call annual working hours, depending on their teaching duties and research duties. They may be working evenings and weekends, and you might have responses to your emails, for example, with times of day. Whereas our administrative staff, we work in office hours, mainly 9 till 5. So there's a bit of a difference there, probably, but always be patient and allow enough time for staff to respond to your emails, for example. And in Finland, we have this very down to business, straight to business style, in that, for example, if you have asked a question by email and if you don't hear any response to that, it doesn't mean that anything isn't being done. There may be some sort of clarifications needed, or the member of staff who you sent the email is working on it, but there's not the culture of saying, hang on a minute, I will get back to you when I've clarified this. But we will get back to you. It just might take a little bit time. All the information on where you can find help and information is online, and with any technical requests or SISU issues or anything, we have the help JYU portal that you can get advice and contact on various issues. But if you need direct help, you have your study guides online at all times, even if it's 12 o'clock in the night and you're doing something and you need to have a response to how do I do practical training abroad or whatever. It's all in the study guides. If you can't find the information online, then contact the relevant people mentioned in the study guide for being responsible for that area. Your program staff, especially your study advisor, will be your best contact with study-related issues, and you will have your faculty administration, for example, educational planners and study secretaries, helping you with exam arrangements and all sorts. If you have any course-related questions, why did I get this grade, or what is the assignment for this course, always contact the course teacher. Nobody else will be able to give you that answer, so always contact the responsible teacher for that particular course. Also, ask from your peers and subject associations and your tutors. They're all here to give you a helping hand. Also, when you get into your studies, you may find that there may be bumps on the road, and you might have something that you need to get off your chest or just talk about, or you may have serious problems, whether financial or whether study related or whatever. Just make sure that you know you're not alone. We have goodies who are well-being advisors here to help you as well. And if we can't help you, then we know where to get that help. There's again going to be a full session on student life, and the goodies are a part of that concept and a lot more. Keep informed. You probably already have received a lot of random emails from faculty or departmental mailing lists and been wondering, what is this? We have mailing lists that include all the students from one faculty or one department, and those are sort of automatic to all students and not particular to you as international master's degree students. So they might not be routinely translated. If the full content is in Finnish, probably doesn't have anything to do with you. It might be something to do with a bachelor's students doing this or that or the other. So don't worry. If it does affect you, it will be translated at least at the end of the message, and possibly sent through another mailing list only for international students. If you're on Facebook, I fully recommend being in the Facebook groups to get in contact with each other, especially in these distancing times, and have that informal link as well. And also the JYU newsletter, which comes regularly and has important information, important current information. So read it through. So that was the marathon I wanted to take you on. So I'm happy to answer any questions from here on. I can have a quick look at the chat, but please feel free to open your mic as well to ask, or if my colleagues have spotted any questions from the chat. Seems to be mostly questions for Ville. About Kela Healthcare, student union membership.